Good morning. Lovely and warm, isn't it? It's kind of, we're expecting this weather, but it's kind of come as a little bit of a shock almost. It's kind of like it wasn't too bad, and then all of a sudden it's absolutely freezing now. But welcome as we come to worship. Whether you've joined us in person or online today, welcome as we come on this first Sunday of Christmas. Often this is the day whenever we believe and see that Christmas is kind of gone and all of the hustle and the bustle has moved away. But in our liturgical Christian calendar, this is actually the first Sunday of Christmas. As we begin today, we use the collect for today. And so we bow our heads. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so may we share in the life of his divinity. He is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Familiar words from the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Reminding us the beauty of having God's word read over us as we come to worship today. Reminding us of who he is and what he has done for us. That our God is not dead. He's alive and reigns today. Come to that part of our service where we recognize our failings, we recognize our frailty, and we recognize that we ourselves are not God, but we come before the Almighty One in an act of confession and penitence as we say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I know I say this little phrase often, but it is a wonderful opportunity as we gather as God's people, whether that's present here or gathering online, the opportunity to say God's word together and to recite it together is a wonderful thing. And today we're going to use Psalm 148 for this, and we'll say it by alternate verse. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Ye mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Wonderful psalm. that encourages us to give praise to our God no matter where we find ourselves. But it's more than that, actually, because contained in those verses, it tells us that everything and everyone is to give him praise. There is nothing higher than the God who we worship. He alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Over the last number of weeks, I've found myself sometimes, whenever I've been reading, having to squint a little bit at the book because I haven't been able to maybe quite make some of the words out. I don't know if that's ever applied to you. There's a few people nodding their heads this morning. So this morning I brought something with me that may help me to be able to do that. A magnifying glass. Now, oh, it does actually work. I was one of those ones I thought where it came out of the toy box this morning. Just in case you thought it was mine, all right. But a magnifying glass magnifies the things that are in front of us. You're too far away, John. You're still a blur. But whenever we draw up close, doesn't it? It makes everything else jump off the page for us. Do you know, in a few moments, we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And a certain, not the version we're going to read actually, but in a different version of the Bible, it's called Mary's Song or the Canticle Magnificat. But actually, the first line of it is, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord." And whenever we magnify something, it gets bigger. I wonder, when was the last time your soul magnified the Lord? When was the last time you allowed yourself to see God for who he is and how big he is? We're going to use that piece of scripture now. Normally over the last number of months, as we've really since lockdown, we've had different people reading it on the screens for us. Today we're going to try it slightly differently. And we're going to do a wee bit like what we did with the Psalm. We're going to read the passage together today. So it's going to come up on our screens. And we're going to use Luke chapter 1, verses 46 today as we say it together. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, round the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Let's pray as we come before God's word today. Father, thank you that you are the God who is capable and in control. And as we come before your living word in this moment, we thank you that it is alive and active. So maybe your word that speaks to the depths of our souls today and not mine. In your name, amen. Amen. Mary's song, or Magnificat as maybe many of us would know it. There's a moment in the story, in God's big story, where this teenage girl is told that she is going to carry the long-awaited Messiah. The angel appears and tells her this is what's going to happen. The angel appears to her betrothed, to the one who she is legally pledged to be married to, and tells him as well. There's a moment in history where things are shifting. This is the moment where they have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And there's a moment actually where it seems as if God has been silent for about 400 years. The last time that God's people heard from him was through the prophets, 400 years before this. And then an angel appears to this young girl and tells her she is going to carry the Messiah. It often strikes me, actually, that Mary doesn't necessarily tremble in fear. That Mary doesn't shirk back and say, "Oh, seriously, please, no, thank you." Whenever the angel leaves her, she sings this song, if you like. "My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary picks up the moment where she realizes that she is invited to be a part of God's story. And she rejoices in it. And what is striking about that is also what comes after the fact that she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Mary recognizes that she really isn't that much, if that makes sense. Mary recognizes that actually she's just a lowly, humble teenage girl who actually probably wasn't destined to achieve a whole lot. She recognizes who she is, but she also recognizes that even though she was not destined to achieve a whole lot, in her eyes and the eyes of her culture and the world around her, God sees something different and has chosen her and invited her to be a part of his story. Her soul. What is a soul? Dictionary defines it as a couple of different things, actually. Firstly, it defines it as the part that's immaterial. But that it means it's not physical. You can't actually touch it. Not that it's immaterial as in inconsequential. Because your soul actually has great consequences for who you are. Because the other definition is, it's the essence of being. And in a Christian understanding, in a biblical understanding, your soul is the essence of who you are. Often you'd hear at a funeral, it's the part that lives on. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, but yet we continue to live in our immortal state because, as it says in Ecclesiastes, God has planted the seed of eternity in the hearts of men. So our soul, in a sense, is that part of us that cannot be destroyed. It's that part of us that makes us who we are. And Mary says her soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. The essence of who she is makes God even bigger than who he is, if that's at all possible. And theologically, it's probably not. No, it's not, because you can't. But you understand what I'm saying. As I posed a question earlier with a little magnifying glass, when was the last time you magnified God? When was the last time you allowed God to seem bigger to those around you? Ah, but James, I couldn't really do that. It's okay maybe for somebody who's ordained and as a minister to be able to do that, to bring Jesus up in conversations or to live a life that shows that God is alive and is out there. I'm no different than any of yous. And you've heard my story many times, probably in the past, as I've said that, where there is moments in my life, especially in my teenage life, where I didn't think I would amount to an awful lot, where I self-esteem was not large within me. But yet at the moment of recognition that God invited me to be a part of his story, where I recognized what he had done for me, as we said in Christmas Day, even though at Christmas the child, the baby comes in as the savior of the world, his purpose is the cross, central to the very story of Christmas. And so on this first Sunday of Christmas, God invites you to be a part of his story. And even though you deep down you might be thinking, oh, well, maybe not me, that's for somebody else. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Elsewhere in the scriptures, the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Maybe this Christmas is very different. So different in so many different ways. That's a phrase we've heard over and over again, isn't it? But maybe for you, this Christmas will be completely different. Because this will be the Christmas that you realize that God is inviting you to be a part of his story. Even in your lowly, humble state, he has a purpose for you. And the primary purpose for each one of us as followers of him is that we would magnify him. We would glorify him. That everything that we do, think, and say points away from us to him. That we would recall, as Mary did, his past faithfulness into our present circumstances. And we would allow that to speak to those around us. I wonder, what part of his story is he inviting you to today? Is he revealing to you that you need to become a child, a son or a daughter of him? Is he revealing to you a purpose that he has for you? Whatever it is, step into it. Because what is yet to come with God is greater than what has ever been on our own. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. Let us pray. So, Father, we want to praise you that even though we cannot fully comprehend how you could leave the spaciousness and the glory of heaven, enter into the confined space of a manger, enter into the mess of this world, we know that you left your glory for our sake, to rescue us from our sin and our selfishness and from the grip of an evil one. We thank you that your word teaches us that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us today, and that you invite us to be a part of your story. Today, will you be our helper, our teacher, our friend? Open our hearts afresh today, that we might see your goodness, your saving grace, your truth. Help us as we continue through this Christmas season to celebrate you, opening our hearts and our homes and our lives and the very essence of who we are to what you would have us do and what you would do with us and through us. But we are also mindful today of those who are less than us, who have less than us, who need a fresh touch from you, Lord, because maybe they're unwell at home or in hospital. Maybe they're awaiting results over this Christmas season. Maybe there are fears and anxieties around jobs or employment, financial worries about how they can cope. But you're Emmanuel, God, with us. Help us to be your hands and your feet, your eyes and your ears in those situations. That as we step into those conversations, as we step in to be your hands and your feet in those places, that our souls would magnify and glorify you. That in those moments, others would see you at work. Thank you for all that you have done, for what you currently are doing, and for what you will do amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we conclude our service today, in line with lots of our COVID precautions and restrictions, we're keeping things as short as possible. And as we leave the building today, Shirley will also release you row by row to ensure that we have as little contact physically with each other, and we can still smile and say hello, obviously, and all of that. But we want to reduce the risk of transmission as much as we possibly can. Everyone's online, you can find out what we're doing and what we're about, and we have lots of stuff over the Christmas season in terms of what we have pre-recorded for that, and that's been released slowly over the next number of days as well, so please keep an eye out on our Facebook page and our website for that, and you'll see wee clips and glimpses of everything that we've been up to. And one of the things that we did do and encourage you to be a part of this year was to bake a birthday cake for Jesus, and take a picture of it, and then to send it in to us. And then to sing happy birthday to him on Christmas Day after we'd had our meals, or before we'd had our meals, whatever it worked for you. It was great to see lots of those images and pictures coming in to me, to see the different cakes that have been made, and the full range of them, actually. It was absolutely wonderful. The difficulty was, I didn't get a taste. Well, I got a taste of one that was made in our house, as you can tell. So there is, it was judged by an independent person who had not entered the competition at all, and I had no connection with anybody who had entered it. I can say the day that the Barr family were the winners of the competition. So keep an eye online, and we'll get a wee picture of the cake up a little bit later. But well done to Jessica and Lucia. Maybe Nilla had a wee bit in there as well. Never know, Chris, don't know. Maybe you did too. We will get a wee prize round to you very soon. It's a great lesson. Let's give a wee round of applause for it. So if you just stay in your seats, stay safe and stay connected with us, we wish you a Merry Christmas.